in seeing that, I want to encourage you with something. I knew I had to remodel this building because I thought, God, if you don't open up the place where my wife and I are supposed to go, I'm not going to be out in the snow, okay? So I'm thinking, I'm going to stretch this barn and build what we had, basically what it was, we had a big room. It was a dormitory for the boys, all right? So when we'd have those retreats, the boys would stay in this section, and then the girls would stay in the house, all right? And then the girls would chaperone the girls, and some of us guys would stand by the door. Some of you have worked with youth before, all right? All right, we won't go there. But anyhow, you understand me, they need police. I'm sorry, they're good Christian kids, but they still need police, all right? So anyhow, it was a bunk room, and it has barn wood all around it. It was a black ceiling of felt board, because why? At the time, I didn't have the finances to make the ceiling the way it was. There was a cement floor. There was cracks in the floor because it was a pole building that they used to drive tractors in and out of, all right? And then groundhogs got underneath the foundation of this thing, and they must have, because it was empty. This house or this farm was empty for quite a few years, and actually it was Dale's son, Ben, and then another brother from Lancaster that bought that. There was 100 and some acres at one time to it, and so that was where they would go and hunt. But you know, hunting season's just a short time, so this place sat empty, and the groundhogs tried to take over. I think about the first year and a half, I got to shoot. Now I know if you're an animal lover, all right, don't hate me, all right. I got to shoot and kill, dead, all right, bury, all right, about 50 some groundhogs, all right. And every now and then, I still get to pop another one. Okay, so anyhow. So I'm thinking, I was able to do the floor in the main part of this, which was an office, which was a nice place for the older people that were working for the youth, okay? But it was very small. And I'm thinking, well, I'll make that. So I realize, I hate to tell some of you this, but I realized that I wasn't 25 anymore. I mean, that's hard, especially on us guys. It's like, I know I can do this, and I could do it myself, all right? But I thought, you know what? I might not want to do anything else the rest of the year after I'm done, all right? Okay. So me and my lightning-fast mind, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get some help. So I hired me a young man who was an ex-Mennonite young man who understood how to do carpentry work and was very good at it. And his name is Dalen. And I said, Dalen, I says, would you take this job on? I'll pay you whatever you want. I says, this is what I want done. I want to make this ceiling, which is 11 foot high, and I want to use metal, tin, you know, metal roofing inside this because it'll fit the decor. And yeah, I'll do that. So I had to tear a wall down and build another wall and all this kind of stuff. And he's basically the contractor, but I'm the golfer. No, I was the helper, okay? I was the co-laborer, all right? So I'm thinking that when it comes to the roof, I don't like to lift my hands unless I'm praising the Lord. And I certainly don't want to hold a whole lot of weight underneath me for long periods of time while somebody puts screws into the wood, all right? I've done that, all right? And you might enjoy that. I don't, all right? I like to work right here, all right? Right here. And sometimes I'll even get on my knees and work, okay? So I said, yeah, when it comes to the roof, when it comes to putting the metal on that roof, I said, I'll have it all here for you and everything. And you find yourself some younger guy to assist you, to help you, because it's going to take two people and maybe three. And he said, okay. Well, the day that came, he come alone. And guess who was available? Yeah. If you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And I said, well, praise God, I can do this because I have a word that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right? So I became his assistant. Now, understand, he knows what he's doing. And that was, I don't know if it was the first time he ever did a ceiling like that or not. All right? I started to question a few things. But anyhow, I'm a good lead or follower. And I followed his lead, and we hit a few bumps in the road, but I got to be a co-laborer together with him, and the ceiling came out beautiful. Yeah. You and I get to be co-laborers together with the Lord. You and I get to cooperate with him as he does what he does, and he builds the church. He's not finished yet. I said he's not finished yet. He's not finished with you individually. He's not finished with me. And he's certainly not finished with the local church yet. So he wants to continue to build. And how's he going to do it? Unless we cooperate, unless we yield to the Holy Spirit and do our part. I can't do your part. I mean, you can probably do mine, but I can't do yours. I can't lead worship. I can worship, but I'm not the worship leader. I can't run a Christian school. Dear Jesus, I don't even want to run a Christian school. But some people can. I can't do what you're called to do. You have a grace. You have an anointing. And you can obtain everything you need when you work with the Lord, working together. Maybe you don't know how to do certain things. But I'm here to tell you, because I've lived it. God puts something in your heart, and you're like, I'm probably the less qualified person in the whole planet. You run to him, and when you're willing, and you're obedient, and the door opens up for you, I want you to know the grace is going to be deposited. You're going to find the strength. You're going to find the ability. You're going to find the wisdom, the knowledge, or somebody, or you know, it might be by another person saying, you know what, I'm going to help you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to download what I know. And I look at this house and I think, you know what, there's so much wisdom, insight, revelation, knowledge. The heart of the fathers in this house. Gentlemen, I'm talking to you. Strong men in tough times. That was one of the themes to one of the men's retreats that we had. I remember ministering. Strong men in tough times. Guess what? We are here. We know that. Is it time for us to rise and shine like a noonday sun? Is it time for us not only to do our job, but to take the time to help others to be able to learn some of the things that we carry, some of the things that we understand, some of the things that we've experienced, that they don't make the same mistakes we did. That they can pick up the ball in mentorship, in discipleship, and run faster than any generation has ever run before with what I believe is the final purpose, and that's taking the gospel to the nations. I believe that we have an open door to reach the nations in this day and hour. And it's going to take an army of men and women just like you, full of the Holy Ghost and power, walking in your grace, taking your place, and walking out in willingness and obedience to do what is at hand for you to do. Understand, my brother and sister, I'm not here railing on you. I'm just telling you, there's things that you've hid under the bed. There's things that you've like, I don't really need to do that anymore. No, I'm telling you what, there's a new grace available to you to do more than you've ever done before. In other words, I'm not talking about the works mentality here. I'm talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit and becoming a partaker of His divine nature and allowing that nature to take you and transform you so that whatever you put your hands to will prosper. So that whatever you put your mind to and your heart to, because God's calling you to do it, that you can stand and become a co-laborer together with God. Because why? We're coming to an end of the church age, whether you understand that or not. I don't know if I'll see it, but I guarantee you, probably my grandkids will. And if they don't, we'll take it up in heaven. You'll say, Bob, you really blew this one. But I see, I know, I understand. I believe the Apostle Paul understood. I believe that Peter understood. I believe that those disciples understood. I've got to live my life like that sky's going to crack, like the Son of God's going to appear, like the dead in Christ are coming up. And then we are going to go up in the air with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Today isn't today. Because why? We haven't fulfilled our purposes yet. We haven't fulfilled the call and purposes of God in our lives and in the church yet. Because why? There are people out on the outsides of these walls that have never heard the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ still. Even though with the internet, even though with all the things that are available today, they're still unreached people. My friend, in the name of Jesus Christ, this is an international ministry here. I speak to you because why? I know you carry the vision that Pastor Bill carried. I know that vision come from God. I know that vision isn't fulfilled yet, isn't finished yet, as far as our place goes, all right, as far as Bill's goes. He did it. He was done. He looked at me, and I've done my purpose. I'm thinking, you know what? All I can do is release him. I don't want to, but I will. Because why? With long life, he'll satisfy you. I don't know what that looks like to you. You understand me? So, but what I am saying, when somebody says that to me, I've got to let go. But now, guess what? I got to step up. I said, I got to step up. That very minute, the Lord told me what I needed to do for this church. And I tried to do my best. And I am so grateful. Because I am so in love with you. And I so believe in you. And I know that there's good things coming soon. I know there are. I got it in my knower. Can you say amen? I can't explain it, but I got it in my knower. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me pray for you, because it's Father's Day, and you guys need to be celebrated in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you what, your men are awesome. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. The entrance of your word has brought light, illumination, has brought a refreshing, a strengthening into the hearts of each one of us. Lord, I bless you and thank you for the open doors of opportunity for each one of us. I thank you for the anointing that you've anointed all of us with to carry out our assignments, to walk in the will and purposes that you've intended for us to walk in. Lord, I just ask you to reveal to us the distractions or the limitations that we've even started to believe. And Lord, remove the limitations off of every one of our lives. Let us see clearly. Let us hear properly. Let us understand so that we could not only just be hearers of this word, but doers. Thank you for the supernatural. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ over each one of our lives. Thank you for the holy covenant that we have. That we're covenant-minded people. We're kingdom-minded people. But Father, I want to thank you for the harvest that's at hand. So Father, I pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. Lord, here we are, send us. Here we are, speak through us. Here we are, use us to be co-laborers together with you. As you continually build the church, raise it up to be stronger than ever before in the day and hour in which we live. We thank you for the shalom of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Total wholeness over every life. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're quickening mortal flesh even here as we sit underneath the Word of God. Lord, you said you sent your Word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. Holy Spirit, I ask you to manifest. Manifest in hearts and lives. Quicken mortal bodies here. We bless the Lord, all our soul, and all that is within us. We bless your holy name this morning. You have forgiven us of all our iniquities, and you have healed us of all of our diseases. And we give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise and thank you. We thank you today. We thank you for victory today. We thank you for victory in this church today. We thank you for success upon every life here. We thank you, Lord God, refreshing, strengthening, equipping, empowerment. We thank you for open vision. We thank you for dreams, visions. Prophetic utterances that have been genuine and pure will come to the forefront in the lives of these folks in the name of Jesus. New assignments will shower down upon many of you. Shifting and changing, rearranging and doing things maybe different than you ever have before. New assignments with new orders, but greater grace to accomplish that, what I have for you, saith the Spirit of grace. So as you rest at my feet, as you maintain in my presence, allow your heart to soar much bigger than it ever has before. Allow your eyes to be able to see into the realm in which I live, saith the Spirit of grace. And I will show you things to come. I will, yes, and I will reveal the secrets, the mysteries that you need to know to walk out as a co-laborer together with me, as we work together and accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this day and hour, saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I finish. I just ask you to put your hand on your midsection, if you would, please. Please. Say this with me if you'd like to. I'm not here to force you. Say, Heavenly Father, this temple, this body, is yours. I've been bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. And greater is He who lives big inside of me than he who lives in the world. I'm not of this world. I am a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. I know this sounds funny, but I'll just finish with this. Sometimes he shows me things and it's hard for me to explain it because sometimes he shows me things that I don't know anything about. I'm not a chess player. Never have been, and as far as I'm concerned, I never will be. I have other things that are important to me, okay? But that doesn't take away people that enjoy playing chess. I have a grandson that is amazing at it. I just went to his wedding in the country of Georgia. I'll give you another story. Can I have a few more minutes? Can I have 5 minutes? I won't do that to you. I took my oldest grandson on my daughter's side to go see my oldest grandson, my only grandson on my son's side. And he's an international student. He's about 28 years old now. And he told me when he was 12 years old, he looked up at me just out of the middle of nowhere, and he said, "Grandpa, my wife's not from America." I thought, where'd that come from? And I remembered it, all right? I repeated that at his wedding because he married a Georgian gal, okay? And anyhow, it was cool, but we flew over, and I always like to hand carry my bags. And I have my grandson with me, and he's, you know, he's a go-getter. And they have an announcement that they needed to weigh our bags. Well, I knew mine were right on the line. And he says, "Grandpa, I'll take those up for you." You know, he thinks, "He's old man. I'll serve the old man, all right?" So he runs up with his stuff, and you know, he's good, and he comes back with his stuff, and he grabs my stuff, and I got that gut feeling. You need to obey the Holy Ghost, and at that time, I'm like, "I'll just let him do it." So he goes up. Next thing I know, he's coming back, and he's empty-handed. "Oh, your bags was a couple pounds overweight, and they checked them on." All right, this is in, like, Detroit. And we're going to the country of Georgia. And I've traveled enough to know when your bags are lost in some of these countries, you are in trouble. Now, the problem was, I'm a good traveler most of the time. This trip, I didn't think about that because it wasn't really a mission trip. I was going to a wedding to be a part of a wedding. And, you know, I was going to enjoy my grandkids and, you know. So they take my bags, they check them on, and he comes back and he says, "Granddad, they checked your bags on. You can pick them up in Georgia." I knew. I thought, "Uh-huh." You know how your heart sinks. It's like, okay, praise the Lord. All right, what are you going to do? You're going to praise the Lord. Well, I get there, no bags. Okay? And we go report it. "Oh, yeah, we'll give you a call when they come in and you can pick them up. And we'll let you know." Now, this was like Tuesday. The wedding's on Friday night, and we're leaving on Saturday. Okay. I get there, and usually I put enough clothes in my knapsack that, you know, I at least got to change underwear, all right? I didn't do any of that stuff, all right? So basically, I'm, you know, like, I don't have anything to wear tomorrow. I mean, you know, you've been traveling for 2 days and, you know, you need to get a fresh set of clothes on. Get a shower first. It's always good to get a shower first, all right? So what I'm telling you is I get there and my first day, my grandson says, "Oh, I want to take you on a tour." So we're walking. Well, I don't have the proper shoes on. And we walked and we walked and we walked and I got blisters coming out sides of my toes, and I'm not gonna bend to this because I'm a tough old guy, all right? So anyhow, I just kept walking. I'm keeping up to these young people, and they're giving me this tour of this whole marvelous city in Georgia and all the history and everything, and it's just wonderful, and I'm hurting bad. I gotta go buy a new pair of shoes first. And my grandson says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, you know, I told him, I said, I got to go find a suit for the wedding because I don't think I'm going to see my suit." And he says, "Well, Grandad, I hate to tell you this, but clothes are a whole lot more expensive here in the country of Georgia than they are in the United States of America." I says, "Well, probably doesn't really matter." So anyhow, I'm wearing this suit because it was 70% off that I found. And it was from, it's a stretchy suit, travel suit. And I paid more for this suit than I ever paid for a suit before in my whole entire life. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear it every time I preach for a walk. Because you understand me. I'm just saying, you know, it's good to follow the Holy Ghost. It's good to take those inner witnesses. I should have run up and snatched the people that checked my bag on and say, please do not do that. I'll take stuff out of it. I didn't. And the whole trip was one bump after another. And my grandson learned a lot because that was his first time out of the country. He learned what it was like to be taken advantage of by foreigners. But he come through it. We got back. And it was a wonderful wedding. And, you know, God was faithful. But God repaid me. I get back to the airport on to Gwynn, and my luggage came.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I didn't need it anymore. I had a whole new wardrobe by then. But I got my luggage back. So that's victory. Hallelujah. So you count your blessings one by one and see what the Lord has done. All right? So I encourage you that the days that lie ahead, what I've seen a chessboard. And I've seen how people move and shift and, you know, they're playing back and forth. And I just felt like chess pieces are about to move. Yeah. I want you to see that. And maybe in your personal life, maybe in your business life, in your family, in the church. There's movement and God's shifting and changing, rearranging for victory.
Yes.
I said for victory.
Yes.
It's not for defeat, it's for victory. So amen. I'm just here to tell you, the flexible shall not be broken. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of being rearranged. Don't be afraid of saying, you know, repent is a good word. It's not a bad word. Why? Because God has much more in store for all of us. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. Thank you, Sister Donna. I am so, so grateful to be a part of your family here. God bless.